When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. We're live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, also live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. We're on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions of Ghana. We're on Amenuveve FM in Aplau. We're on Gangai FM in Jirapa, ATL FM in Cape Coast. We're also live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol. Your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol is always a delightful experience. This afternoon, Director General of SNIT describes as unfair, calls for him and the board to resign over the Trust's handling of attempts to sell off its stake in some 4 underperforming hotels.
If you have a fiduciary duty to improve performance, do you not try to do something about it? Is that the real cardinal sin in looking to improve the performance of underperforming assets? I don't think that is wrong.
We'll get to hear from UTAG and labor experts who say the management and board have lost the trust of its contributors and must go.
The board, of course, must be dismantled, not just dissolved, dismantled into pieces and no more to exist.
How can we have a meaningful conversation on the alternatives with this group of people like you? It's not going to work.
The announced strike is, however, biting hard as government, ministries, OPDs of some hospitals deserted, leaving persons in need of medical care stranded. I also take you live to the TUC head office for the latest on the stance.
I want the labor and the unions to fight for my rights and to make sure my rights are protected. And for that, there is no question.
You came with your grandmother. What's her condition?
She's having a cardiac enlargement and we need medical attention. That's the reason why we are here.
Also this afternoon, health experts in the eastern region and frantic moves to contain the outbreak of dengue fever. We are there as the Ghana Health Service issues an alert following the detection of 9 cases.
We are engaging the community members, this assembly, traditional leaders, to inform them about the disease and then educate them on preventive and control measures.
We have our Thirsty Community series. We'll take you to the Kasina Nankana West District of the Upper East Region, where despite interventions by government, residents still travel long distances to fetch water from unreliable sources. In sports,
Andrea Yu is calling for patience for young Black Stars team as they seek to reclaim their glory days of Ghana football.
And I'll tell you all about what you missed at the second EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair mini clinic that happened in Tema, where exhibitors gave exciting packages. That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Many thanks for your company. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We start off on the labor front, and as we speak, the leadership of the Trades Union Congress are currently addressing the media on the stance they've taken in protest against the sale of 60% stake of SNIT's stake in some hotels in Ghana. Let me take you live to the TEC head office now for updates on that press conference.
I heard your address. I didn't hear anything about it. Does it mean that leadership of organized labor do not share his views? If it does, what are you going to do about it?
Well, you are saying it. We are not privy to this information. But what you stated here is that we are giving SNIT 1 month to address all issues relating to our pensions. And that's what we stand by.
My name is Obed. I report for G1 TV and Star FM. So there are concerns that your representatives on the SNIT board should also be reformed. What do you make of it as leadership?
Representative from whom? We are the workers here.
Organized labor.
And they are our members on the board. We have not stated anything. So who are you listening to? Are you not the people who put them there? So listen to what we are saying. We are saying we are giving SNIT 1 month to address all issues relating to our pensions, or else we advise ourselves. And we stand by it. Anymore.
Well, you just heard there, Dr. Isaac Bampuado. There, he's the leader for Clock Sang, and he's been answering some questions at that press conference that is currently underway. My colleague Kenneth Jesse is there for us at the Trades Union Congress, and he joins us on the line. So, what exactly is the position taken by Labour today?
Well, they say they are calling off the strike. So, from tomorrow, all their workers are supposed to resume work. They were behind closed door for a meeting that lasted for more than an hour, deliberating on whether to call it off or otherwise. You do recall that UTAC initially stated that they would not call this off until the board members of NIT all resign. But when they conveyed today at the headquarters of the Trade Union Congress to deliberate on the way forward, they decided to call off the strike. But they are saying that they are giving up to a month to address them on the conditions and situations regarding their pension fund. And if they do not hear from SNCC within that 1 month period, they will reconvene and advise themselves again. So what is happening today is that they have called off the strike and have instructed all their workers to resume work from tomorrow.
Okay, but Ken, I bet you put the question to Labour as in why this strike took effect today in the first place, following that SNIT had communicated clearly that they had actually stopped the deal.
Well, what happened was that, as I mentioned earlier, UTAG took a different position that they would not return or relent on the strike until the board of SNIT all resigned. And then that is part of what they considered. So it was a consideration on the table that they had to talk about it. Should we go with what UTAG is saying, or should we do otherwise? And majority of them said, for the sake of what has happened today, because, for example, this morning we went to some government hospitals, Great Accra Regional Hospital, Kwalebu Teaching Hospital, all the OPDs are not working. Patients have flooded those OPDs. And then this is one of the reasons they considered and said that, look, let's call it off, because our initial demands, which were to abrogate the sale of SNIT hotels, have been met. So at least let's give them a 1 month ultimatum, brief us on the state of our funds. If nothing happens, we're going to go back to the drawing board and advise ourselves.
Okay.
So these are some of the reasons they put into consideration the call of the strike.
Okay, that's my colleague Kenneth Jesse there reporting live from the Trade Union Congress, and you've heard the position from Labour now that strike has been called off and they'll resume work starting tomorrow. Well, before Ken went to the TUC head office, he's been painting a picture of the situation in terms of the strike and its impact so far at the ministries. Let's listen.
As somebody who works in organized labor, I want the labor and the unions to fight for my rights and to make sure my rights are protected. And for that, there is no question. What concerns me, though, is that we are now mixing various things with different things. This is a developing country with a lot of needs. We have issues here that we can't even meet when the full workforce is at work. And so when people down their tools for some of these things, especially for things that are ideological, as a citizen, it concerns me. I think the teachers in this country certainly should be in the classrooms helping for students to be educated. And there should be people in the leadership who go to fight and battle for these things. The downing of tools and leaving of services. I heard you say that the hospitals have also downed services. So it's a complete
OPD.
Standstill in this place. It's something we can't afford. We will lose life. And I don't even know if that's the only way forward. Is there a way for people to actually say in post and for the representatives and the leadership to go to the negotiating table and to fight for these things to happen? And I don't know if an ordinary teacher refusing to teach today is the solution for disagreements with who owns the hospitals or the hotels that the SNIT fund controls. Mm.
And that's an interaction between my colleague Kenneth Jesse and a resident here in Accra when he met her at the ministries. Well, my colleague Maxwell Agbagba has been touring the court complex here in Accra. He joins us on the line with more. So is it business as usual at the court complex, Maxwell?
No, Anova, it is not business as usual. and there's no activity at the court today as a strike by organized labor begins to take its toll, leaving many patrons with no choice but to leave frustrated. The car park when we visited earlier was empty, with some workers leaving the premises of the court to go home. Earlier, when I spoke to the leadership of the judicial workers, I was told by the group that they will not call on the strike until they hear from the leadership of organized labor.
Some people have criminal cases where perhaps they are applying for bail and they will have to come to court today to be heard or for certain reviews or any other release at law. And the effect of it is staggering. If it continues, people would have lost a lot. There are people who are seeking injunctions, restraining others from doing something. On account of this, they cannot be heard in court. Certain processes in court will have to be enforced on account of the strike. In fact, to put it bluntly, during this time, we have practically a state of lawlessness, just because people would continue to do whatever ordinarily the law, and when I say the law, I mean the courts, would have restrained them.
Since morning, like 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's not happening. I heard the judges are on strike, something like that. So everybody's going back home.
So I didn't hear anything from my lawyer.
Okay.
That's why I came this morning. Mm. I didn't see nothing. Court is going on.
Okay. But what did they tell you?
I don't see anybody there.
Well, Maxwell, you shuttled between the court complex and also the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. What did you find there?
Well, at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, nurses were partially working at the OPD, although I'm told it's not as effective as it's supposed to be. A deep throat source at the facility told me that they were giving the strike a human face, especially because it's a referral unit and people from very far places have come, and it's been sensitive to send them back, especially because many of them have not heard of the strike. So they also told me that they were waiting to hear from the leadership of organized labor, then they'll take a firm decision on whether to withdraw OPD services completely or not. But here at the...
My name is Cesar Bauer. Mm. I'm the health service workers union chairman, Kolebu branch, special branch.
Okay.
I'm going to call me here.
Who are your members?
Mm. So as at now, the orderlies, lift operators, admin managers, administrators, lab technician, X-ray technician, stores assistant, and mortuary attendant. I think we are more.
Mm.
So when you go around, you see that they are not working.
All of them are not working.
Oh, no, we are not working. You go to the OPDs and see, we are not working. We have the letter from our mothers, you know, that was Friday.
Yeah.
That was to convey to our members that we are not working. So this is what we are doing.
Okay.
That's why I'm on rounds going. So still, we are not working. We are not working until we hear something from our leaders.
Okay.
Before we know what to do.
Okay.
So that's Cesar Bauer, chairman of the Health Services Workers Union at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. And he says his members also include mortuary attendants and they are not working. Let's leave the capital. Let's head to Kumasi now. And my colleague Nana Buache Dankwaye Adom has visited the OPD of the Konfuanochi Teaching Hospital, where he's been checking on all morning. So Nana Buache, what did we find? Are people getting medical attention at G?
And if that is not the case at the Konfuanochi Teaching Hospital, these patients who are seeking medical attention would have to wait a while longer for their doctors to come in. But the nurses have directed them to stay on and wait for the TUC meeting to come to an end. Earlier on, those patients who travel from afar, who came to the Konfuanochi Hospital, told us that they are in critical conditions, but then the nurses have directed them to seek medical attention at a private facility. And so at the Konfuanochi Teaching Hospital, patients are not being attended to. This is what they told us when we engaged them.
Whatever be the cause, the governments and the stakeholders involved should get on board as early as possible to be able to rectify this. Some have been here early as 4, 5, 3, and we cannot continue to have same situation at hand.
You came with your grandmother. What's her condition?
She's having a cardiac enlargement and we need medical attention. That's the reason why we are here.
And then I said,
So some patients there at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital interacting with my colleague Nanabwachi Dankwayadom. Let me take you to Parliament. Let's check on the situation there. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante joins us on the line. Kweku, what's happening in Parliament?
Well, it would appear the MPs themselves were also following in the strike of organized labor. In fact, when the House started sitting about 30 minutes ago, there were just about 20 MPs out of the 275 on the floor of the House. As we speak, a few of them have joined, making it about 40, but that is still way below the quorate number that Parliament needs to transact business. You will recall the very controversial matter of government signing a lithium mining agreement with Barrenjoey of Australia, and currently the minority are trying to block the laying of that agreement. The Constitution says the mining agreement signed by the executives shall be presented to Parliament for deliberation and approval. Civil society organizations like Imani, ASAP have raised concerns about the agreement, saying it is not in the best interest of the country. You also have people like Dr. Steve Mantiao, who said that the agreement is in the right direction. Last week, the government side tried to lay this airline. It was blocked by the minority. This morning, a similar attempt is underway to block the mining agreement. We have first heard from the Member of Parliament for Tamale Central, Ibrahim Mutala Muhammad, who has raised issues of quorum on the floor, says the House does not have the needed quorum to be able to transact business. As we speak, the Speaker of Parliament is trying to guide both sides, but it appears the minority have taken an entrenched position on this, saying they will not allow it, except to say that it should come before the Business Committee. They want more conversation to be had with the public civil society organizations before that airline will come to Parliament. Mind you, Parliament has just about 2 weeks before it will rise in at the end of this month. The minority said that is not enough time to scrutinize an agreement of this nature. And
do you have any objection to 11-0 being laid? The issue raised is legitimate, but I rely on 64-4, which says the person presiding shall A, direct the clerks at the table to cause the bell to be rung, B, continue the business of the House for a period of 10 minutes, and E, direct the clerks at the table to conduct a head count of members present, and D, if there is still no quorum, suspend the sitting of the House for a period of not more than 1 hour. And then we go to file.
That's the Speaker of Parliament on the issues of quorum earlier. Well, we'll stay a while longer on the issues of strike, even though now we're hearing from Labour that has been called off and they'll resume work starting tomorrow. We've been hearing from UTAC, who have taken this opposition to the sale of the 60% stake in SNIT's stake in some four hotels a little further. They're asking for the resignation of the management of the board and also the embattled Director General. We've been hearing from him, and he says, that's Kofi Osafumafu. He says, it's unfair, the calls on him and his management to resign over the handling of processes to sell off some stake in four underperforming hotels. Well, we can first hear from Professor Mumudu Akurugu, UTAC president.
Just terminating a sale is not enough to address the underlying problem. Why did they want to sell the assets? We are told that the assets were non-performing. How does the termination solve the non-performance problem? So we need to go beyond determination to look at the issue of non-performance and how to turn things around. How do we do that with people who have been in charge for 3 or so years, who think that the only best bet for us is to get rid of the assets? How can we have a meaningful conversation on the alternatives with this group of people again? It's not going to work. And so to make progress, we believe that it's better they step aside and allow a new group of people that can, you know, engineer and be more open to conversations on other alternatives than just selling their assets.
Mr. Osafumafu insists it's an unfair call, but he will engage all interested parties on the best way forward.
We are going to go back to the drawing board. The rationale at the time of lotting these hotels, and we lotted them with those in Accra, i.e. Labadi and La Palme being lot one, lot two being the Cape Coast hotels, i.e. Elmina and Ridge Royal, and lot three being the hotels in the Western region. We've come to this point. We will go back and re-examine it. And again, as I said, this is an issue of stakeholder engagement. We've terminated the process. The stakeholders and ourselves will then sit down and we would see how we progress. I think that in the heat of things currently, it would be wrong for me to suggest openly my thoughts, because that in itself could also go and raise other issues about, hey, he's thought of doing this again and he's doing this and he's doing that. No, let's go back to the drawing board when we have a trauma environment, and then we will engage our stakeholders, arrive at a solution. I think what is important is that the status quo is not acceptable. The poor performance is not acceptable.
Now, the Director General of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, Kofi Osafumafo, there speaking to my colleague Elton Brobe. Let's turn our attention to health now, and experts in the sector, especially in the eastern region, are making frantic moves to contain the outbreak of dengue fever there. This comes after the Ghana Health Service issued an alert following the detection of 9 cases in some districts there. The officers have assured measures are being put in place to treat those affected and to prevent a spread. Kofi Siao has been monitoring developments there and will join us shortly. But first, let's get to know about this dengue fever, what exactly it is and how we can prevent it. Head of our health desk, Fred Smith, joins me in studio. Fred, please tell us about the disease.
Well, according to WHO, dengue is a viral infection transmitted to humans through the bite of infected mosquitoes. And about half of the world's population is now at risk of dengue, with an estimated 100 to 400 million infections occurring each year. Now, while many dengue infections are asymptomatic or produce only mild illness, the virus can occasionally cause more severe cases and even death.
So, at least you talk about death, so it means that it's very dangerous. But indeed, to what level you talk about?
Well, what makes it dangerous is that prevention and control of dengue depends on vector control, and there's no specific treatment for dengue or severe dengue. And early detection, they say, and access to proper medical care greatly will lower fatality rates and severe dengue among people.
How then do we detect it in terms of symptoms?
Well, so the symptoms include high fever, severe headache, pain behind the eyes, muscle and joint pains, nausea, vomiting, swelling glands and rash. And if you're experiencing any of these, the advice is for you to visit the nearest hospital.
That's the head of our health desk, Fred Smith, there giving us updates on that. Let's bring in our Eastern Regional Correspondent, Kofi Siao. Kofi, what's really the situation? How are residents reacting to this development?
The people I've spoken with confirmed that they heard about the news both on the traditional media and the social media, even though they claim that they've heard there is no cure for it for now, but they are only waiting on the Ghana Health Services to put out the safety precautions out there so that they can adhere to it. That is what they've been telling me.
I learned the Ghana Health Service has put in place, in collaboration with the National Emergency Team, to put outline strategies. And in my readings, I realized there is no known cure, but the patient is supposed to stay hydrated and live a healthy lifestyle, and also prevent mosquitoes. Bye.
Well, Director of Public Health with the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Franklin Esiedu-Bekwin, says steps are underway to deal with the issue.
I'll say that for now, it's a localized outbreak, but you know, but the vector is mosquito, so it can move across. So we are trying to make sure that every Ghanaian is aware that we have a pollution in the eastern region.
Which districts are involved here?
For now, it's Birim South, Birim Central, Achimaso, and Achiasi. And then we have some suspected cases from Achiasi North. So that was based on what we had from our investigations. They are doing our house to house. In that, it's a community engagement. Every fever is not malaria, so look beyond fever to find what could be the cause, and then let's not self-medicate.
Director of Public Health, Dr. Franklin Esiedu-Bekwin, there taking us on a quick break on the Midday News live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM. We're also live on myjoyonline.com in all 16 regions on X Spaces and Facebook, supported by Petrosol. Your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol is always a delightful experience. And we'll return from the break. We have sport, and then I'll tell you all about what you missed at the second EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair Mini Clinic that happened in Tema. And then we have our testing Safety Community Series to take you to the Katsina Nankana West District of the Upper West Region, Upper East Region, where despite interventions by government, residents still travel long distances to fetch water.
This is what the Olympics is all about.
Get closer to split-second wins. Closer to history in the making.
He's a mortal man.
Closer to your champions.
The greatest athletic achievements of all time.
Get DStv to get closer to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games from 26 July to 11 August with 9 dedicated channels for the best coverage of every medal and every podium moment. On Supersport on DStv, your home of entertainment.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
The luckiest
star 712 Lush.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed star 712 hash and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial star 712 hash. Now join in the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dial star 712 hash. Now I can swear to take it through as a group, individual, and as a, even as a community. Now win the Sika Kessie. Prizes are Kessie in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with star 712 hash. Now join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
star 712 hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
Thanks for staying with us. It's time for sports. Move down, Abila is here.
Yeah. MFA, it's been 42 home, eh? Years. Mm-hmm. It never came home. Like 58 okay. Years, it hasn't gone home.
We shall be
42
finished.
Years, it hasn't come to Ghana. Andrew is a Black Stars captain. He says that this young group of players are actually hungry to win the African Cup of Nations title for Ghana. So Ghanaians should be very patient with the team.
We have a squad who is very young,
yeah.
Who are now understanding bit by bit
teamwork, cohesion,
everything that's coming. They started early. It's not like before the people you said, there are people who played for Liberty Professionals, Hearts of Oak. So they played in Ghana. And they left. Today, most of the players leave very early. Leave very, very early. So you get the outside, let's say, the outside mentality easier. So when you come home, but you have to readapt yourself to the Accra mentality, which it is not easy. So, yeah, it's they are there. They want to play. If not, you won't wear the jersey. This is what I want to
so they need make. More motivation, just more support to be focused.
Patience.
And get
patience.
That was Andrew Ayew, captain of the Black Stars, addressing students, psychology students at the University of Ghana.
Thank you very much, Muftau. Let's head to the Katsina Nankana West District of the Upper East Region, from where we are bringing you our Thirsty Series, Thirsty Community Series. And water scarcity has been a persistent issue in some communities there. And despite interventions over the years from government and charity organizations, residents in some communities in the area often still travel long distances. Albert Sori has today's edition.
With just about one reliable source of water supply for the hundreds or even thousands of residents living in these communities, some have to walk the long distance to get water. Those who cannot make the journey must resort to other sources such as shallow wells, dugouts, and rivers to get water.
We used to walk across streets and rivers to get water. And even our children, when they are to go to school, they have to also walk about 5 kilometers to get water and come and bath and go to school.
In the dry seasons, even some of the boreholes constructed by the government fail to provide water because there is usually none underground due to the extremely hot temperatures. The district chief executive for Katsina Nankana West, Gerard Atauje, describes the situation as challenging.
The water table is very poor. If I tell you the interventions that government has done in the